Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And I want to remind people that on his website, relationshipmagicbook.com, relationshipmagicbook.com. And we're talking right now about that taking, saying the more awake person taking responsibility. And that just reminds me of a series of interviews that we did with wisdom leader who is now deceased, Sir Lawrence Vanderpost. And he said those same words. He said, it's the responsibility for the more awake person to be the expansive one and to say, okay, not to fight. And it just reminds me, you have said over and over in the book, we cannot change another. It's not our responsibility to change another. I'd love for you to speak about that.
Let's look at a simple dynamic between a partner's couple. For whatever reason, let's say he comes home from work, you know, familiar deal, and he's stressed. Now, he's already in pain. His traffic, the job, everybody knows, isn't as rewarding as the job used to be. Some of the love buzz, you know, has sort of come off. And he walks in, he's a little bit negative. And maybe he says something. And maybe he didn't know that something happened to her while she was out shopping or at work.
The washing machine broke down.
Whatever it was, you know. And so instantaneously, he sees something and it sets him off. He says something. He touches in her a pain that she was trying to deal with but didn't know what to do. Now she has someone to blame for her pain. And what you have here is one person pushing to get rid of their pain and pushing against another person's pain. When you push on a sore spot on another human being, that human being only knows how to push back. Now we're not talking about pushing back. We're talking about understanding that this pain that I'm in, when you try to change me, to control me, you're actually cementing in me this resistance that I have to anything at all being said about my character. You may have wanted me to be a certain kind of person who walks in from home, the office, always happy. Maybe I can't do that, but that's in your mind, because if I walked in happy, you wouldn't get unhappy with me. Hmm. Point being this. Now, you say something about, I wish you with this, I wish you with that. The minute that you have done that, you have pushed me into a corner. The corner you've pushed me into is the idea that somehow I'm not what you need me to be. I'm less than I ought to be in my own. And so all I can do is resist and push back. Then I push you into a corner. And the next thing you know, you have this pattern
merry-go-round
where each person is blaming the other for their pain. And here's the main thing. Why is, in my mind, that my pain is more important than yours? When we're fighting with somebody, we have no awareness whatsoever that they're in pain. Because all we see is you as the source of my mm-hmm. pain. If we, it's just a simple thing like that, you know, because one day it dawned on me, why is what I'm suffering over more important than what you're suffering over? Am I a more important person than you? The vulture says I am.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I'm not more important than you are. I'm not more important than any human being. We are human beings, and part of our existence has this pain in it. This pain is not meant to be turned into a sword. It's meant to be turned into a polishing wheel, so that instead of blaming you for my pain, I understand you have helped me understand this pain is in me. Now I have a chance to be responsible for it.
So in being responsible, there's another analogy that you use in the book that really grabbed me. And this is the analogy, if I'm in this loving relationship, we came together in some sort of mutual attraction and love, that magic elixir. I love the word magic in your book, relationship magic, because there is something going on, that glue that brought us together.
Brought us together.
So here we are. Here's the analogy you use. Here we are. The two of us are in a canoe together, and we're headed for a waterfall. That fight that we inevitably have over and over and over again. And I realize, wait a minute, we're going to go over this waterfall, and I need to then be the rudder or the paddle that starts to guide us. If I stop and I take it in myself,
this one
and not
is
blame
on me.
You, this yeah. one is on me, and just shut my mouth. Or not even do those other clues where I shrug my shoulders or fold my arms and I act disapproval. That's also like wordless words.
What's important to understand here is that all of us know the cold shoulder. You set me off. We fought 100 times. We each have a certain pattern that we follow in perpetuity in these fights. Then one day I realized, you know what? I have had this argument with you, with life, with fear. I've had it 100 million times. I've never won the fight.
Oh, right. What a realization.
The way I know I've never won the fight, I'm back in the ring. And when I actually understand that, I have within me at least an understanding. The only real solution here is not the continuity of this moment. It is the cessation of this part of me that wants it to go on. And I just agree inwardly, this one's on me. I will not fight with you. You want to fight with me? You go ahead. I'm not going to fight with you. And here's the point. I'm not going to grin and bear it. I'm not going to be some subtle, what do they call them? Martyr. I'm not the martyr in this thing. What I am is someone who understands my life has been spent in the hands of a nature that talks love, but when the walk time comes, turns into something that wants to punish someone else. Now I'm not going to do that anymore. It's all going to end with me. And to the point, Justine, now I start to understand this nature that all of my life has only found someone and something to blame, and I don't do it anymore. I walk out of the ring. I walk out of the ring. And listen to this. I walk out of it not because I'm a good person. I walk out of it because love has shown me that if I don't walk out of it, love has no chance. You cannot be against something and love it at the same time. It's impossible. If I'm angry, if I'm fighting with someone, if I'm fighting with life, I am against it. You cannot love and be against. Love requires seeing the whole of something, including my role in that moment, and then assuming the responsibility. If it weren't for you, I would have never known what an egotistical, self-serving, selfish man I was. I would have pursued the dream instead of understanding the reality of life was bringing me to a release of myself. And I have you to thank for it. But first, I had to suffer seeing that.
So that reminds me of another analogy in the book, and it's just a real brief one that goes by fast, but I really liked it. And it was the analogy of the breeze blowing through the trees. Do you remember using that? And I think this is applicable here because we're going to have breezes blowing through our relationship. Yeah. And so how this gives us a way of holding it. If you remember that analogy.
I do. It was from a little story based on a conversation that I'd had. And I asked the person, as I do in this book, you know, when the wind blows, for one thing, the wind is intended to help clean the tree. I mean, people don't know that, but how does a tree get rid of old stuff? Storms. Storms serve the tree. Storms in our relationships serve our relationships if we understand their purifying action. In this instance, just because the wind blows doesn't mean the tree's coming up. But the tree is
the tree's falling over.
It's being strengthened. The wind strengthens the root system. The storms in our relationships, if I understand them, strengthen the roots that I have in love, allowing me to bear what I must bear for the sake of something greater than myself. Our love is selfish, Justine.
Well, it seems that that's the way it's manifesting, but you're showing us a different path that we can take.
Trying to show that there is another way in which we can be together, where the idea of a relationship, one of my favorite analogies, you go outside on a beautiful day, you're struck by the light, by the mustard. We talked about the beautiful mustard coming up, the color, how unbelievably, what is that at that moment? That mustard is bringing into me an awareness of a quality in myself that wasn't there until the mustard showed it to me. I'm in relationship with something that shows me something about myself that is beautiful. I love the nature, the sequoia, because it awakens in me the sense of strength and toweringness. That's why we love nature. We love others because they help us see things in ourselves that we can feel. Without them, we would never know. It's also true with people who help us see the things we don't want to see in ourselves. They are serving the same purpose. Only we have a mindset that says we're not supposed to have these things in us. Therefore, I have to blame you if you bring it up in me. We're talking about understanding this relationship that love itself has brought about in this creation, where everything is revealing everything for the sake of understanding there is a sum greater than the parts. So when I am brought into a moment with you and you bring up something in me I don't like, if that's the case, I'm to thank you for it. Because were it not for you letting me see this in myself, I would never know it was there as a stumbling block in our relationship. It's a limitation. We look at others when we get upset with them because we look at, well, you know, they're limited. They're not able to love the way I love. It never occurs to us that our judgment of a quality in someone else is our limitation, not theirs.
Exactly. I'm thinking of the analogy in my own life. In the early years, we're talking about the early 1970s, 73, 74, Michael would push me to go to the interviews and meet all these quote-unquote famous people. And I was kicking and screaming. I would say, no, I'm going to stay home. I don't want to do it. I was just shy. I didn't feel capable or big enough or enough esteemed to go.
A feeling of being inadequate, yes.
Right, but he kept pushing. And now look at me today. Now I'm conducting interviews and doing the whole thing. And that was the rub that you're talking about.
That is exactly the rub.
We'll talk about this in just one moment. I want to remind our listeners, I'm here with Guy Finley. He's the author of Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And his website is relationshipmagicbook.com. Or newdimensions.org will get you there as well. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. I'm here with teacher and founder and director of the Life of Learning Foundation and the author of many books, including Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, Guy Finley. And Guy, you talk about the ABCs of relationship. This is like an easy one to remember, ABC. So can you describe what you're talking about there?
Everything that we've looked at is summarized by the ABCs. A, don't argue. Arguing, we're taught in this world that arguing leads somewhere. Arguing starts nowhere and goes nowhere. This one's on me. I would prefer to discover the truth of myself than prove that you're responsible for my pain. The B, A-B, don't blame. Good heavens, how much longer are we going to spend in this body, on this planet, finding people and problems to blame for our own pain? Don't blame other human beings. In the moment where you feel the blame, bring your attention back into yourself. And again, this one's on me. I'm going to use the rub to be released from this nature that's caught in the conflict. And see, no coercion. Good heavens, man. If you could change your partner or anybody, mom, dad, family, friend, whoever, if you could change them, you would have changed them a long time ago. Stop trying to change others. Physician, heal thyself. That's the task. Don't coerce. And we're subtle masters at it, Justine. Coercing people to be and do what we want them to be and do. Why? So that I don't get negative. We don't want to be individuals who anymore look at people and say, you have to be like this so I can be like I imagined myself. Instead, we're going to work together. You'll help me discover myself. And by the way, complete my true self through this love that allows me to see what it does. Now, the last part of this. This is not easy stuff. It isn't. Even if you've recognized in the small way how futile it is to carry forth this blame and anger business, if you try it, you're going to fail. You will not succeed. I'm just saying it now. If you work at this, you'll see it. Why? Because we are so used to this fail-safe, to this instantaneous knee-jerk action. But with this new knowledge, you'll be able to see the old understanding at work. And that's the key. Because little by little, if we intend to let love be the answer, we will see where love isn't. And when we see where love isn't the answer, we'll begin to understand what I finished this book with, a little story, a true story, about standing in line at a grocery store. And everybody's impatient because the gal's taking forever checking everybody out. And the murmuring starts and the blaming starts. Finally, when I got up to the point, I said, look, let's just take a deep breath here. It's okay. Everything's fine. I'm sorry for the commentary on the part of the people. And she said, thank you so very much. She said, I'm in training. Now, when people complain about somebody who's training at the cash register and she feels their negativity, does she become a better cash register person or a worse cash register person? She becomes worse because she starts to resist them. When I look at you and I blame you for the pain I'm in, you feel my state. You then, this nature, resists my state. And now you're locked in the idea that your state is the right one because it's resisting mine. Two negatives do not make a positive. Two wrongs don't make a right for those of us that are old enough to remember it. But to realize that, look, I'm in training. I'm a human being who wants to understand this journey that love has put me on. And in the end, the whole thing is the journey of love. It really is. I was going to call the book, Relationship Magic, The Endless Journey of Love. Because what are relationships other than a ceaseless revelation of our own nature? To what end? So that thing can be integrated and transformed and ultimately changed to such a state that we're no longer who we were in the moment where we've been shown what we were.
So, Guy, I remember in my life something that happened, it was a time like some colleague had written an email, and I remember sitting there at my computer just, and I composed a fiery email back, just like, just blister right back, just like, what at? And it might have been right after, and you may have been an earlier interview that we did with you.
Yeah.
And there are some words that came to me, and I think they were from you. And what the words came to me before I hit that send button.
Yeah, yeah.
The words that came to me are, what would love do now? That phrase, what would love do now? I erased that email and it was never sent. And then afterwards, I got this other email back from this person. And they said, oh, I'm really sorry for that last email. I was really upset about this and this and this. And it had nothing to do with you. And I'm here's where we I was so grateful.
Yeah.
That I paused and I didn't go send and just escalate this whole thing.
That is it. That is it. When we don't punish someone, we are essentially helping them see that what they want to punish us for isn't real.
So revenge just doesn't work, does it?
Well, look, if I punish you and you punish me and we're punishing each other back and forth, we're sitting there, both of us, sure that our pain is produced by the other person. But what if we understand it isn't your pain, it isn't my pain, it is our pain? Love has brought us together for the purpose of helping us discover through each other how we can become more whole, better, truer human beings.
So I just kind of see us in relationship like we live in an oyster shell. And that's our relationship. And then there's that irritating sand that is making the pearl within that shell.
It seems to be. In the book, I say you don't know it, but your partner, whoever it is a secret agent sent into your life for the purpose of helping you see what no one else is going to help you see. And when you love somebody, you stay with them in spite of the fact that they're doing all this, because love holds you together so that out of that irritant, out of that grain of sand, a beautiful pearl of true value can be born. Then you have something that no one else can have, beginning with this understanding we've been talking about.
Exactly. I can see that. I can see that. That pause, you use the phrase, your spiritual alarm clock. You know, like, I love that phrase, like, okay, let's say that alarm goes off, just like a burglar has entered the premises.
And the vulture has landed.
The vulture has landed.
Yeah.
Okay, and that alarm, that spiritual, what do you mean by spiritual alarm clock?
Just what you said. If I'm, let's say I'm at a table with a group of people, and everybody's having a bang-up time, and somebody says something, maybe it's passive-aggressive. This is the point. It doesn't matter what other people are doing if I become the instrument of some unconscious state. My task is to be present enough to myself to use your pointed comment to free myself from the button that you've just hit. If I do that, then in that moment where ordinarily would come the retort, the response, the sarcastic remark, that's the spiritual alarm clock. My awareness of instantaneous resistance teaches me, listen, this is a moment of revelation. Don't turn it into a fight. Use the moment to release yourself from these parts of yourself you weren't aware of. The alarm clock just brings me into the moment where I can see it.
So that doesn't mean that we can't stand up for ourselves and...
Glad you brought that up. Glad you brought that up. No. In fact, I go to great pains in this book. We are not saying under any circumstances allow people to abuse you. But you have to know the difference. Many of us have been in relationships and remain in them that are abusive, and we do so because we think it's out of love. It is not out of love that we stay and enable other human beings. It's out of a form of self-love we don't recognize as such. So no, do not allow anyone to abuse you, but as best you can, use everything to see, listen to this, the parts of you that are abusing you when you want to hurt somebody else. You cannot hurt another human being without having first hurt yourself. It's impossible. It's impossible. That means that God, the divine, call it what you will, has given us an instrument, a mechanism by which we can recognize through that alarm clock that I can't serve you a dish if I haven't tasted it myself. And if it's bitter, I shouldn't give it to you. And that's the only way I can know it's bitter is by tasting it myself first, being present to myself first.
Well, you've said a lot in this hour. You've given us a lot to chew on and a lot to help us expand our own awareness. I want to thank you so much, Guy, for being on New Dimensions today.
It's so good to sit here across the table from you again, Justine.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure as well. And I want to remind our listeners that Guy Finley is the author of Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together, as well as many other books. And if you want to know more about his work, you can go to his website, relationshipmagicbook.com. And there you'll find that you can download a free audio book of this book. With the purchase of the soft cover, Relationship Magic, Waking Up Together. And also there will be bonus gifts such as a live stream webinar, which starts in late October. If you go to the website, it'll give you all the details. And you can plug into that live stream webinar at your convenience. So that's relationshipmagicbook.com, or you can go to the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org, and get there as well. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3651.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over four decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm Diana McLean Smith, author of Remaking the Space Between Us. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about how citizens can work together to create a better future for all.
Listen to Scream Therapy, a show about the link between punk rock and mental health, hosted by me, Jason Schurz. I've been part of the music scene for more than 30 years. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and my whole life was thrown sideways. As part of my recovery, I've slowly returned to the music that I love. Join me and my resilient guests for no-holds-barred conversations right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Simon Fraser University, Thursdays at 12:30 a.m. And until then, take care and be well.
Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse. Independent. Yours.